So, on the last track, we had an introduction from page 345, and we also read a section called The Symptoms of Eye Strain on page 346. This track starts at the bottom of page 346 with a section called Precipitating Factors of Eye Strain. And it goes till close to the bottom of page 347. I will now briefly describe the conditions in which eye strain occurs. In what situation may a person feel compelled to start striving to see, and so develop the symptoms of eye strain? Eye strain tends to develop when there is a definite visual task to do. Thus, reading, writing, looking at a blackboard, viewing the television or cinema screen, driving, are usually felt to be specific visual tasks and may induce a person to start trying to see. On the other hand, the visual activity of looking around us as we go about our daily task, gazing at the countryside, a beautiful picture or a beautiful face, do not usually induce eye strain. A visual task involves looking at all forms. A visual task involves looking at forms and shapes. If these lack the definition necessary to carry out the task with reasonable ease, then eye strain may develop. Any condition of the eyes, such as refractive error, which leads to the formation of indistinct images, is well known as a cause. So I'll read that sentence again. A visual task involves looking at forms and shapes. If these lack the definition necessary to carry out the task with reasonable ease, then eye strain may develop. Any condition of the eye, such as refractive error, which leads to the formation of indistinct images, is well known as a cause. Lack of coordination between the two eyes, so that there is inadequate fusion and a tendency to diplopia, is another case. Illumination is important. If the quantity, quality, or distribution of light is inadequate for the performance of the visual task, then eye strain may be induced. Similarly, constant movement of the visual field, as in trying to read a book on a swaying train, or lack of contour and contrast as an out-of-focus picture on a screen, can produce eye strain. The quality of the visual field is another factor. Thus, eye strain is common when staring into an empty visual field, as is done by astronauts and pilots flying at high altitudes. It occurs in sensory deprivation experiments. The subjects report eye strain when trying to focus on hallucinations. There's footnote number 3. Continuing on page 347, A contemporary example is op art. In this art, shapes are dematerialized by means of networks of forms and violent juxtapositions of black and white or colors close in value. Contours then lose their position, and containment and the boundaries appear to shift. Then footnote 4. Some people develop quite severe eye ache and wateriness of the eyes if they stare for long at these pictures. These are some general conditions in which eye strain readily develops. After a head injury, almost any visual activity may produce strain and pain in the eyes, and any prolonged visual task, like reading a book, is completely impossible. The same less commonly may occur in convalescence, during lactation, in the premenstrual period, after drinking alcohol, when the person is very tired or bored, and so on. Finally, eye strain may develop if there is a sudden change in the optical relationship of the eyes. Thus, it often occurs for a short time after a change of glasses or new ones have been worn. Even if they are the correct prescription and accurately fitted, it is well known to all who prescribe glasses that if you change the, quote, wrong optical prescription to the, quote, right one, objectively speaking, some people will develop eye strain, which will only be relieved when they are given the, quote, wrong one again, which they have got used to. That's what he writes, and maybe say gotten used to. This is an interesting example of a failure of habituation. It shows how unimportant the objective optical state of the eye is in the development of eye strain. So here we are close to the bottom of page 347. Very interesting. For as is well known to psychologists, it is possible to produce enormous distortions in the optical state of the eye, so that, for example, the whole visual world appears upside down, while little or no eye strain will develop in a motivated person, and there is almost complete perceptual rehabituation within a week. Footnote 5. Yet other people will fail to adapt to a very small change in their optical state, even though this change, if adapted to, would produce clearer visual images. So that's a section called Precipitating Factors of Eye Strain.